You're listening to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Lexington podcast. Take a moment to center yourself in this space and enjoy this week's sermon.
This morning's reading is a poem by Anne Sexton called Welcome Morning. And I just love that this particular version comes from a source called Grace Guts. There is joy in all, in the hair I brush each morning, in the cannon towel, newly washed, that I rub my body with each morning, in the chapel of eggs I cook each morning, in the outcry from the kettle that heats my coffee each morning, in the spoon and the chair that cry, hello there, Anne, or Carol, or you, each morning, in the Godhead of the table that I set my silver plate cup upon each morning. All this is God, right here in my pea green house, each morning, and I mean, though I often forget, to give thanks, to faint down by the kitchen table in a prayer of rejoicing as the holy birds at the kitchen window peck into their marriage of seeds. So while I think of it, let me paint a thank you on my palm for this God, this laughter of the morning, lest it go unspoken. The joy that isn't shared, I've heard, dies young.
Not long ago, a woman in my exercise class asked if she could take a moment to tell the class something that was important to her. The woman stood and made eye contact with us, and she said, I'm scared. My son is having surgery tomorrow. Then, with complete vulnerability and with tears running down her cheek, she said, will you please pray for us? In a chorus made of strangers, I heard, well, sure I can. Of course I will. Absolutely. Those words echoed throughout the gym, and that was it. Within a few seconds, the essence of that room changed as if there was some type of transformation of energy. That's it. I felt the energy change. What was previously felt like a group of mostly strangers was somehow transformed into a more of a community, that is, a feeling of care where we met each other's needs. Well, prayer has been somewhat a touchy subject within Unitarian Universalism, especially given the complexity and diversity of our individual beliefs, including atheism and agnosticism. At times, some UUs have rebelled against using the word prayer or praying because we were made to say prayers as children or in other religions that really didn't resonate with our own spirits. That is, we were indoctrinated rather than being allowed to discover our own paths. In a backlash of some of these more traditional type of church rituals, we managed to create lots of euphemisms. Years ago, in this sanctuary, when we called it the Great Hall, we rarely, if ever, used the word prayer. We said we would send white light as means of caring, if is sending black light might mean that we were sending evil thoughts. However, over the past 40 years or so that I've been in this congregation, it seems that we may have come nearly full circle. Reverend Brian reminds us each week that there is no right or wrong way to pray or meditate. And in some weeks, we might even hear a resounding amen. Even if there are euphemisms for prayer, I am intentional today in using the word prayer. Why? In truth, I wanted to re-study prayer because I experienced the effects of prayer. How so? Well, last November, my beloved sister Ruth turned very ill very quickly, and I knew she would die. Not unlike that woman in my exercise class, I felt incredibly vulnerable, and I thought my heart would break in two. Other than doing a magic trick to deposit me in Iowa to avoid a 10-hour drive, there was nothing anybody could especially do for me at that precise moment. All I could do was be my vulnerable self and reach out to my friends and ask them to pray for me and for my family. And I asked Reverend Brian to ask you to hold me in your thoughts and prayer that particular Sunday. My friends and you did that for me. All along that trip, I got texts and calls telling me that I was prayed for, or that I was in someone's thoughts, or that I was held close to someone's heart. And even though I was alone in my car, and while I sat in the hospital room with Ruth, I knew I wasn't alone. No, those thoughts and prayers did not change the outcome. Ruth died. Yet, something changed. In a way that I can't describe, I felt I was being held by invisible hands. Much like that experience in the exercise class, I felt, and I do mean I felt with my whole being, a shift in energy. I don't have the words for it, but the difference between my experience in the hospital room and the woman in the exercise class is that I was the recipient of the prayer. I felt the effects of prayer. Several weeks after Ruth's death, I had a sense of renewed equilibrium. I found myself asking, how does prayer work? People have been praying in a variety of ways about a variety of things since the beginning of time. Asking questions is part of our UU culture. So how is it, I wondered, that prayer works? What happened? I decided it was time to revisit the concept and practice of prayer. And so I took a deep dive back into that study. I looked through 20-year-old notes from the history of prayer class I took, and I reread 80 pages of a journal of reflections of that class. I went down a few rabbit holes of inquiry. Lots of ink has been spilled on the subject of prayer, but lucky you, I'm only going to give one sermon about it today. This is my personal inquiry. That is, how does prayer work? I will begin by saying that I am a prayer. In the words of my professor, Dr. Henson, the professor who taught the history of prayer, I do not believe that God is an accommodating bellhop. Prayer and praying is far more complex. Personally, prayer for me is a form of communication with God, with myself, and with others. And I almost always refer to the poets for inspiration. I reviewed the mystics, both ancient and contemporary. Mystics seek to be one with the divine, to find truth that is beyond our intellect alone, to provide some sense of what the truth may be. For a long while, at least early in my experience in Unitarian Universalism, rationalism seemed to dominate much of our theology. But Unitarian Ralph Waldo Emerson, a transcendentalist, warned that reason is not the highest or the best way to know. Indeed, while we may deny it, we Unitarian Universalists are also rooted in the history of mysticism. That is, how we come to perceive our lives through experience with a power greater than ourselves, or our transcendent experiences with the divine. So let's take a moment to revisit one of the sources of our living tradition, and it happens to be the first one. Our first source says, direct experience that transcending mystery and wonder affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces which create and uphold life. Truly, I did feel upheld during those prayers given to me, but I still wanted to understand how thoughts and prayers actually worked. My intuition told me that something happened that may be actually be able to explain, and I didn't want to be too quick to think that mysticism alone was the answer. This is when I went down that rabbit hole to investigate quantum entanglement. And believe me, it's a really deep rabbit hole. believe me, quantum entanglement is incredibly complex. I'll be brief. Quantum physics is the study of energy at its most fundamental level. Within these studies, there is something called the observer effect, and it's fascinating. The observer effect suggests that even by looking at a particle of energy, or by looking at something, or thinking about something, by thinking or looking at a particle can change the way that particle behaves. In other words, the physical world around us is influenced by our thoughts and what we pay attention to. Another intriguing concept within the study of quantum physics is quantum entanglement. And I'm quoting this article because I can't even begin to use my own words to explain it. In short, the phenomenon of quantum entanglement occurs when two particles become linked so that the state of one particle instantly influences the state of another particle regardless of the distance separating them. Quantum entanglement challenges our conventional understanding of space and time. Suggesting this, it suggests a fundamental interconnectedness that exists in our entire universe. So, quantum entanglement means that everything's interconnected. The concept of interconnectedness is nothing new, really. Influenced by mystics, Voltaire said, God's center is everywhere and his circumference is nowhere. Ralph Waldo Emerson, a transcendentalist, wrote that we are all part and particles of God. Thomas Merton, a more contemporary Catholic monk, wrote, we are members of one another. The famous scientist Albert Einstein said, the soul given to each of us is moved by the same living spirit that moves the universe. Yoga practitioners say namaste, the divine in me bows to the divine in you. Jesus, whom some might call the cosmic Christ, said, whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me. And my favorite poet, or one of my favorite poets, Anne Sexton wrote, all this is God right here in my pea green house. What do we call this enormous field of this interconnected energy? I personally call it God, or the divine, or sacred space. It's something of which I'm a part of. And you, as my fellow UUs, you can call it anything you want to, or not. So it seems after a bit of study, it seems that science may have caught up what the mystics knew or intuited for many, many years. I asked the question, how does prayer work? Well, now I have a scientific answer which may lend some truth or understanding. People who prayed for me produced a change of energy that changed me. I found a rational answer, yet it turned out I found but one answer. And I think it is insufficient. Rational answers aren't enough. This is why I practice being a prayer and engaging in prayer, and why I ask for prayers when I felt so vulnerable. I absolutely needed to be in communion with powers greater than myself, because I could not endure that process alone. And I can say with certainty that my experience of being held with invisible hands during Ruth's death was a sacred and mystical experience. I was connected through love, sent from prayers at a distance. In his book, Unitarian Minister, Reverend Tom Owen Towle wrote Free Thinking Mystics with Hands. He explains that we use can be mystics. As bona fide mystics, the substance of our faith points to an ineffable yet undeniable connection with the sacred, both mysterious and sustaining. But he goes on to caution, rationalism without a sense of mystery grows sterile. And mysticism, untampered by reason, falls prey to credulity, or that being too easily influenced to believe something might be true. We UUs embrace rational science, but we also leave room for mystery. That is, we don't leave out how the sacred might influence our lives. I like the idea of being a free-thinking mystic. I embrace the ineffable and mysterious experiences as a source of knowledge. Quantum entanglement cannot explain all of it. There is more wonder and mystery than quantum entanglement can explain. But, and here I go with another but, another exception. True to Unitarian Universalism, I continue to wonder and question. There is rarely one answer. The answer is not an either or, that is, it's not solely science or solely prayer or mystery. Consider this. If indeed we are a part and particle of the sacred universe, if indeed we are interconnected within that vast continuum of energy, then science and spirituality are also interconnected. For me, it's impossible to separate the two. This is one reason I am a Unitarian Universalist. We celebrate the oneness of everything. One God within one incredibly diverse and complex place. Now, there are folks, and I don't say this to sound critical, there are folks who do believe that God is some sort of superpower that governs the universe from a celestial type throne, or that God performs like a heavenly bellhop. I dare say that few of us in this room believe this, but there are those who do. But I do not think that we humans are the center of the universe any more than God is on a celestial throne. Therefore, to me, prayers are not like magic that I can abracadabra the pain away, or that God will provide a sensible solution to the problem without my involvement. I believe that when people ask God why God would let something awful happen, that God often answers with the same question. Prayers are not good wishes, which allow me to wipe my hands free of responsibility to help in some way, nor are my prayers a way of asking God on that celestial throne to do all the work. I like to think of myself as a humantheist, that is, as a human, I've been endowed with a power much greater than I am. I have been endowed with the ability to choose how I behave, so I can choose to create a heavenly, an earthly heaven or an earthly hell. Yes, we are interconnected in this vast sphere of energy, but there is something more to it than interconnectedness. We as Unitarian Universalists embrace interconnectedness as the interdependent web of all existence. There is more than a subtle difference here. We can be connected to other humans, connected to the animals, connected to nature, and not give a damn about it. However, if we embrace our interdependence, we become fully aware how much we need each other and depend on each other within this vast community of connection. I think it's possible to gain insight into the sacred through prayer, and that my prayers matter. It can be a challenge to set aside the intellect and open enough to connect with the sacred. It means you have to be quiet. The challenge of mysticism, or at least for me, is to remember that life is just not all about myself, but that my life depends on helping others, especially those who are less fortunate or those who may be in trouble. I must let my heart break open to the needs of others, and I must allow myself to be vulnerable enough to ask for help when I need it. We need each other in our interdependent web. There is no such thing as going it alone. We humans are really adept at creating hell. As you use, we practice our faith free thinking and responsible action. I doubt any of us believe that it is enough to pray here in church and then walk out their door thinking that our conscience is clean. Because we are part of this interdependent web, we have to help each other create our own heaven on earth. I call this praying with dirty hands. That is, we need to get to work. Sometimes, and many times, the immediacy of a great crisis may, the only thing we may be able to do at a particular moment is to send out a prayer of love to those who need it, even if we pray from afar. Such prayers, I believe, are essential and mysteriously do make a difference. Then, such prayers need to be followed up by prayers with dirty hands or prayers with action. If we say a prayer for people affected by a mass shooting, then we must also consider going to the ballot box to vote for gun control. If we say a prayer for people affected by floods, then we may also need to consider putting our human energy to work rebuilding houses. But we must pray with integrity. We must say our prayers with mindfulness of love and respect. Prayers with authentic love and care are superficial, if not hypocritical. So, sometimes when I'm in the pulpit, I can sense when there is disagreement out there. But you know what? That's a good thing. At times I even disagree with myself, especially when I try to write something about as complex as prayer. So then, what's the answer to my question? The answer is, I don't know. I don't know how prayers work. Maybe quantum entanglement had some influence on my experience of being held by invisible hands. But this I do know. It really doesn't matter to me how prayers work. I just believe they do. I can spend a lot of time going down a rabbit hole and trying to figure out the answer. And I can choose to engage my whole self in the mysteriousness of this fabulous, interconnected, and interdependent universe in which I live. And I can bow down and write thank you on the palm of my hand for any and all prayers offered to me from whatever source they may come. To love one another, Anne Sexton writes, is something like a prayer, and it can't be planned. You just fall into its arms because your belief undoes your disbelief. Hear that again. To love another is something like a prayer, and it can't be planned. You just fall into its arms because your belief undoes your disbelief. May we celebrate that mystery of the unknown and cherish the love and the help we receive within our web of care. Amen.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. If you would like to learn more about us, please visit our website at www.ucl.org, where you can find more information about our grounds, staff, and upcoming events. You can also subscribe to our e-news there and learn about our virtual service offerings. We'll see you next week.